Thank you guys for coming today. I hope I didn't startle you with that icebreaker of a whistle. But today we're going to talk about a subject that is somewhat tough for us to hear, because in order to be a servant of God and to be a servant in the church, we have to give of our time. We have to give of ourselves self-sacrificially. And so with that, I would like to give you a definition of what I looked up in the World Book of Dictionary for the definition of a church is. It's a locally organized group of Christians that gather for religious services. The church is a body of men and women in whom the Spirit of God dwells as their source of excellence, a group of persons with the same religious beliefs and under the same spiritual authority. So the definition of a church actually includes what we are here today as huddle, a group of Christian men gathered together. Where two or three are gathered together, there he is in the midst, along with our home church. There are several good reasons to participate in a church, according to Jim George, the man after his own heart, author. Says it gives the entire congregation an opportunity to hear the heart and the mind and the voice of the pastor and to share his vision. We get to join together our hearts together in unified worship, and we can sing praises to God together, along with giving sacrificially our resources in unity to God. We can have a common shared spiritual experience together, and we are unified in encouraging and spiritually stimulating each other to love and share good deeds together. I mean, that's pretty awesome that we get the opportunity to come together and to worship together and to encourage each other. David, a man after God's own heart, yearned for God's house. He said, "I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells." And he also said, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." That is also my desire too, as I stand before you. See, men, God ordained us as spiritual leaders to nurture our families' spiritual needs. And church is a very big part of that. Sunday worship should be the highlight of our week. If we want to be men after God's own heart, we must love the church as Christ did. Jesus says, "Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." Jesus was serious about the church and our relationship with our wives. I believe he is sometimes disappointed in us. How easily we get discouraged in our marriages and our church. Jesus said there's a correlation between the two, and I believe we should be married to the church till death do us part. If we are in conflict with the church, or in conflict with our wives, we're out of sync, and we can't benefit either one. Are we going to run out on our marriage or not participate 100% in our marriage every time we disagree? I believe we are living in a generation where it's easy to just quit church and or quit our marriages every time something doesn't go our way. As Christians, we will be less effective in our church if we don't know what our spiritual gifts are, or use them to their fullest. That's why we have so many non-participators. I coined a phrase that 90% of the church sits on the pews and are not actively involved in some sort of ministry and some kind of sort of service. Not committed to serving God and others. Using their spiritual gifts in turn causes us to not be loyal to the Christian community. 25% of the church supports the other 75% financially. That's a problem. Being critical of everything, from the music to the preaching, we spend more time complaining about the body of believers than praying for the church and the fellow believers. Honoring and preferring each other is what we should be doing. We have become pleasure seekers. There's nothing better to do. If the boat's not running or it's raining, then we'll go to church. We need to be perseverers. We need to be men that stick to it, and men that is described in Deuteronomy 6. Remember, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He didn't and won't abandon a church, or He won't abandon us. And He doesn't expect us to abandon our church and or our wives when we disagree. Remember, we will give an account for everything done in this body, whether it's good or it's bad. We all should agree to be more supportive and less judgmental of the body of Christ, showing Jesus' grace. Whether it is a pastor or a brother Christian who we are offended by. There was a couple who was enjoying their Sunday morning breakfast when the wife went to put on her church clothes. When she returned, the husband was still in his bathrobe. Aren't you going to church today, she asked. No, I'm not going to church today. In fact, I'm not going to church anymore. There are people there who don't like me. And frankly, there are people there that I don't like. And I'm not going anymore. His wife said, I'll give you two good reasons why you should go to church. One is that you're 42 years old and you've always gone to church. And secondly, you're the preacher. Has our pastors or our Christian brothers and sisters ever felt like that? I believe they have. Sometimes we make our church leaders feel that way by not supporting them and other members, questioning everything, remembering as Christ loved the church. We should love and support the body of Christ for Jesus' sake and then for ours. They shall know us, men, by the love we have for each other. I recently was at McAllister's with some brother Christians, and these brother Christians are pretty outgoing, and they really speak about the Lord quite oftenly and quite frankly and sometimes quite loudly. And we were there talking, and we had plenty of Jesus talk, and we prayed together, and we hugged each other when we left, and there were people standing around looking at us. I noticed that, and they were looking at us like a cow looks at a new gate. You know, sometimes I don't know if they were trying to figure out who we are and what we were doing, or they were envious of some brothers that could come together and pray together and hug each other and not feel intimidated about it. And you know what? That Jesus can only do that, because I'll tell you one thing. Before I got saved, I wasn't hugging any man. We should want to show our love for one another, for the spiritual health of the church and for our spiritual health. See, I had to resolve to be more supportive myself and less critical. It'll wear you down, men. It'll suck the joy right out of you. And if you've ever been there, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when you become more critical and you judge everything that goes on. Have you ever been hurt in church? Yes. Have you ever been disappointed? Have you ever been frustrated? Have you ever been confused? Have you ever been discouraged? Yes, and I think that probably everybody has, but that has nothing to do with it. See, it's a Christian journey. It's not an easy journey. And you can get beat up in it. Satan loves to divide us. But one of the things I like to do is I like to remind him where he's going to be at the end of the journey and where I'm going to be at the end of the journey if I serve Christ. It's not about me. It's about Jesus and the 46,000 unchurched people in Howard County. Most of us do not know what our spiritual gifts are, and that's why we're not as effective. We lack joy in our lives and not serving. And another problem that we have is sometimes that we can get outside of our gifts and we can get outside of our responsibilities. And that's one of the reasons that we get discouraged, because we don't stay focused within what God's gifted us with and what our individual responsibilities are. He says in 1 Corinthians, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Spiritual gifts are given by God for the purpose of serving the body of Christ and others. There's a list on your handouts, and we're not going to get into the individual gifts because it's a very complex, self-searching journey for each one of us to find out about our gifts. And they are a study in themselves. But if we seek, we shall find. We need to think more and pray more and reach out more to the 46,000 people that are in church in Howard County and less about ourselves. Then God will add to the church such that are saved. become servants like Jesus. In Philippians, it says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. I'm sorry, that was in Matthew. But it said also in Philippians, we should do nothing out of the selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, considering others better than ourselves. See, I really love the church body, and I love the Christian community. Where would I be without you and the Christian community, my Christian family? I'd be lost. I'd be wandering around in darkness with no place or any hope for heaven. My first experience with church was at Trinity United Methodist Church, and that's located outside of Garden Square. It used to be called Gateway Gardens, and I was just a snot-nosed kid running around there. But I loved to play basketball, so I joined the basketball team, and you had to go to church 2 Sundays out of the month. So I went 2 Sundays out of the month. But I had a very loving coach, and his name was George. And he was very patient with us, but he was also my Sunday school teacher. And he gave me that foundation in Jesus that I needed, although I did not serve him for many years thereafter. I can remember being pretty mischievous in church, and I can remember my brothers and I would take our bean shooters and we'd take spitballs and we'd shoot them out around the congregation. And I didn't know it, but I probably could have been a millionaire if I'd have known what was going on, because what my brother did is he would take rubber bands and he'd take sticks and he would roll them up and then he'd sit on them. And then when he lifted his legs, what did that do? Well, see, that was the first whoopee cushion. But you know what? They corrected us, but they loved us. And you know what's so amazing about that is that that's where I got my foundation for Jesus. They tolerated us little snot-nosed kids. And that's what we need to do in our churches today instead of reaching out and condemning them. See, you know, Trinity United Methodist Church, they're still reaching out. You know, if you read in the newspaper and you follow Jeff Newton and Urban Outreach, it seems like he has got something going every day. And I'm just so happy that he's still reaching out to not only kids, but adults in our community. I spent many years wandering around lost and hopeless, seeking true happiness, not finding it in the world. Only church I had was the church key. 25 years later, I walked into a small church in Oakford, Indiana, and I spent some time there. I believe it was the summer of 1978, and I sat on the pews until November the 18th, 1979, at 11:45 a.m., and Just As I Am came on, and that's exactly what I did. For some reason, I was sitting on one side of the church, and my wife was sitting on the other. I was sitting with my brother-in-law, and I think I came in late, so I just sat down, and she was sitting there, and so I just stayed. And all of a sudden, you know, our hearts met together in Jesus. And she went from one side, and I went from the other side, and we met at the altar. And we've been serving the Lord Jesus Christ alongside each other ever since. So the following Sunday, my youngest daughter, who was 5 years old, so don't underestimate that kids can know the love of Jesus too, because she went forward and she got saved. The following March, my oldest daughter, she got saved, and they're all serving the Lord together with us. And then in the following June, I was baptized along with my wife Barb, and I held my youngest daughter, and Barb was baptized by our pastor. We were baptized by our associate pastor, and the junior church pastor baptized Tina's, and I was holding her, and we all immersed together, and we all came back up together, and Larry Ives was right there. He got baptized, he and Marlis, along with us, and so, that was a special experience for us, and we've continued to serve the Lord and to serve our local church. We began to search for our spiritual gifts. We attended classes, and I began to serve in many capacities. I was a steward. I served as a Sunday school superintendent, youth camp director, as a deacon, worked in the kitchen, picked up chairs and tables, mopping floors, taught Sunday school, and led small groups and many other things, just trying to search for my passion. I found it. God gives us spiritual gifts so that we can serve and edify the body of Christ, not for our own exclusive enjoyment, given to glorify God through Jesus Christ. With simplicity, and that's the key. Serve with simplicity, diligence, mercy, and cheerfulness. See, I found my passion. My passion's outreach ministry, where I can use my spiritual gifts. For about the last 30 years, I've tried to use my spiritual gifts. I originally started out, we sang with the Peacemakers. Larry sang with us for 18 years. We traveled around Kokomo, Indiana, any place that God would open up a door testifying. When that door was closed, I got hooked up with the Kokomo Great Banquet, and I continued to serve there, along with serving here at Huddle, giving an account of the hope that lives within us, and that hope's Jesus. In 1 Peter, the scripture says that every man hath received a gift. Even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Just being out in the community, sharing Jesus till he comes is my passion. Have you received your spiritual gifts? God has given us all spiritual gifts, and I hope that you have, and if not, I hope that you begin to search for them. It's not an easy process to find those, and usually somebody else will identify your spiritual gift and help you understand that. I think that a good place to start to serve is in that, like the scripture talks about in Matthew 25, when Jesus said, "When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. When I had no clothes, you clothed me. And when I was sick and in prison, you came unto me and you visited me." And then he said, "When you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me." And meaning the service that we do for other people, it's like doing service unto Christ. Start serving others. Just do anything until you find something you just have to do. And that will be your passion and spiritual gifts. Glorify God by reflecting our love for Him to others. Finding something that gives you joy and peace and a sense of accomplishment. See Jesus, something that you can see Jesus' fruit in. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, goodness, and temperance. When you find your spiritual gifts and use them, you will never stop serving God and others. There will be a joy and a peace and a contentment that will be unspeakable. Then you can truly serve the Lord and the body of Christ. And see, true joy comes through serving God and others, using our spiritual gifts. The Christian community means everything to me. How would I have known the love of Jesus if Christians before me didn't reach out to me with their spiritual gifts? How would I have known if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, that we shall be saved? And how would I have known if we confess our sins that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us all from unrighteousness? How would I have known that there's no other name under heaven and earth whereby man must be saved but the name of Jesus, and He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that confession is made into salvation? How would I have known that I have to forgive to be forgiven? How would I know to come boldly upon the throne of grace in time of need? And that whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may glorify you and His Son. Whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in Him. Without the Christian community, my seeking my place in God's plan, how would I have known these promises and hundreds of others? If you and others had not used your spiritual gifts, passing them on to me. You see, I was here on February the 3rd, 2010, when Steve Butler spoke on prayer. That was the most awesome, awesome message that I've heard. And what he talked about is that he talked about the pattern of prayer and the worship of prayer and the repentance of prayer and the thanksgiving of prayer. He talked about the guidance and the faith and the command of prayer. And then when we pray, that we should pray with adoration and confession and thanksgiving and what our spiritual need is. See, if Steve hadn't have been here, how would I ever known how to pray for my four-month-old granddaughter who's been very sick? She has had a tough time. She was born with yellow jaundice, which is somewhat common. And so she had to stay in the hospital for like 3 days. And then she developed RSV, which is a respiratory problem. And then she had to go back into the hospital and live in those tents and take breathing treatments, and she's 4 months old. So she got out of the hospital and she came home, and it wasn't long that she developed a urinary tract infection. And what that did is it caused her temperature, and that's how my daughter knew that there was a problem. Her temperature went real sky high. And it caused her white corpuscles to multiply and, in fact, double. And when the doctor told my daughter, she said, "You have a very sick daughter here." See, how would I have known to pray? How would I have known the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and His ears are open to their cry? And the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles without the body of Christ and its teachings, using their spiritual gifts. It sure wouldn't have been from my old friends. Oh, they would have said, "Phil, oh, let's just go have a beer and everything will be okay and just kind of get it off of our mind for right now." That's what my old friends would have said. Instead, we called upon the Christian community to pray. We prayed and we cried out boldly and claimed His promises, believing, "I anoint her in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And 2 weeks before, we had dedicated her to the Lord. And it was hard for me to understand why we were at this position. But I didn't have to remind God of her, because He knew all about her. He knew every hair on her head. He had conceived her. He knew her before she was even born. And He knows what her future will be. And you know what? When we prayed, she miraculously began to heal. And when I was looking at her at the hospital, and she had an IV stuck in her arm, and every time she moved, she would whimper and she'd cry. And then she'd look up at me and she'd smile. And it was like Jesus was saying, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." So I'm telling you, man, if you're lost and undone here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you don't have that connection with Him like you think that you would love to have, and you don't know what your spiritual gift is, I'm asking you to draw closer to the Lord, to draw nigh to Him, and He'll draw nigh to you. And I'm standing here, and we, the ones that knew about her sickness, are giving praise. We're giving adoration and thanks to the God and His Son Jesus. They would be glorified for restoring her health. I need you and you need me, men, to know our spiritual gifts and use them to edify God and the body of believers. To be useful for God, we must have a certain biblical qualities. This is not an easy road, guys. And it takes discipline. It takes work. It's not an easy process. And the Christian life is nothing to mess around with and play games with. See, he says in 1 Timothy and Titus, he says, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not pursuing dishonest gain, being just, and loving what is good. See, it takes an effort for us to be able to call upon that righteous, holy, glorious name of Jesus Christ and say, "You promised me in Your Word, and I'm asking for those promises now." I can remember being on the golf course with Dave Crossor when we got the word that Cambry's fever had broken, and that her white corpuscles were back to normal, and the Lord just kind of broke me. And I don't know whether it was the next shot, men, but what I do is I remember one shot that I made, and it was on a par three, and I hit that thing this far from the cup. Isn't that right, Dave? I hit it this far from the cup, and I didn't even think about it at that time, but while I was studying, God said, "I just wanted to show you I was there." So, before I got saved, men, I wouldn't cry for anybody, but you know what? When God changes your heart, it makes a difference. So I'm praising Him and thanking Him for 30. I love you guys too. Love you all. So I guess the message of the day is, guys, that we need to commit our life to Jesus. We need to serve Him in truth and spirit, and we need to seek out our spiritual gifts. Find a spot in the body of Christ to serve using our gifts, and keep pressing on for Jesus as you serve Him and others until He comes or we go. Let us pray, men. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for this awesome opportunity to be here and to speak to these men, Lord. Thank You for Your anointing spirit. We love You and we praise You. And I pray, God, right now that each man that stands here today that has come, or any person that would listen on the internet, I've asked Your blessings upon them, Father. And I pray, God, that they would know their spiritual gifts and they would begin to serve in truth and spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.